You turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11, and just one verse as our text for this evening, because we have seven different areas that we want to look into. Our subject tonight, why prayers are not answered. We're looking at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Father, we just ask and add your blessing to the reading of the Word of God and the ministry of the Word tonight. Open up our hearts if there is something that is keeping us from receiving the answer that we so desperately need. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will help us in these areas. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you an outline tonight that I would like you to jot down. And maybe somewhere down the line, your prayers are not getting through and you're kind of wondering what is happening in your life. Make this kind of a checklist so that you can look back on seven things I want to talk to you about tonight. Number one, our prayers are not answered because they are not offered. And you would say, well, now, wait a minute, is that biblical? Of course it is. The book of James, chapter 4, and verse 2, it said, ye have not because ye ask not. And that applies to anybody who is coming to the throne of grace. If you never make any prayers to God or simply do not talk to him, don't expect any kind of an answer. I was interested in reading about Henry Ford, who had a friend that was in the insurance business. And one day, Henry Ford decided that he would buy $1 million worth of insurance. But he didn't buy it from his friend. He bought it from another insurance agent. And when that agent, that was a friend of Henry Ford, found out about it, he was very, very upset. And he dashed into Henry Ford's office and he said to him, why in the world didn't you buy that policy from me? And Henry Ford looked him squarely in the eye, said, because you didn't ask me to. May I say that's exactly the same way with God. Ye have not because ye ask not. If you have a moment, flip over to the 107th Psalm. And there you will find three sections or three divisions in that part of the Word of God. The whole psalm is summed up with one word, and that word is trouble. The first section is Psalm 107, 1 through 5. And again, it talks about trouble. But look at verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. You see, it took the trouble to drive them to prayer in order for the Lord to finally answer. Look at the second section. That is trouble again. Verses 17 and 18 talks about trouble. Verse 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Again, the word trouble. The third section of that 107th Psalm deals with trouble again. Verses 23 to 27. Take a look at verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. All of this entire section, the three sections in Psalm 107, deals with people that simply forgot God, got themselves into trouble, and then they started to cry out to him. And that's the case with a lot of people. As long as life is running smoothly for them, they don't see any necessity to call out to God, but let a little trouble come into their life, and all of a sudden they begin to bombard heaven with their prayers concerning their trouble. Have you ever read in the newspaper of miners that were trapped down in the coal mines, and everyone was praying for them, and up on top they were worried and wondered whether or not they'd come out alive? And then finally someone was able to get down to them and they were released. And then the question was asked, what did you do down there in the mine? And the answer always was, we prayed all the time. It took a calamity to get those people to pray. It was the same with Jonah. In the words of Scripture, in the belly of hell cried I. So the 107th Psalm simply is crying out, these people are in trouble. And yet when they finally got in trouble, they begin to cry out to God. The Scripture said, you have not because ye ask not. And if your motive is right tonight and the need is there, I want you to know God will answer your prayer. The second one is, we pray with the wrong motives. James 4:3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I want you to know that every prayer that we pray, God looks at the reason and the motive of that prayer. And we cannot fool God in our praying. I was preaching one Sunday night in Cairo, Egypt, and it was the funniest service I've ever been, I think, in my entire life. First of all, the man who was to interpret for me got lost on a bus and never did make it. And the second part was the fact that the fellow who tried to interpret for me was a missionary who was just going to language school and didn't have the language down. And you talk about a mess, it was like a car running out of gas. And that's exactly what happened. Finally, I just simply said to him, this is ridiculous. Let's close it up and go home. But the thing that was very strange to me, prior to the service, just as we walked in and were seated on the platform, there were a whole group of people that decided they were going to pray. And the whole thing was to see who could pray the loudest in the group. And so after about three had prayed, this one fella, he pulled his pants up like this, and you knew he was getting ready for the final windup. And he started to pray, and he looked through his eyes and squinted around and looked at that crowd, and he was praying louder and louder, and finally he opened his eyes to see if everybody was listening to what he said, and right in the middle of the prayer, he got to coughing. And he couldn't stop coughing. And it made him so mad, he took his hand and went like this and walked out and went to the restroom to get a drink of water. Now, all that praying didn't mean a thing. The motive was wrong. What he was doing was trying to get everybody to agree with whatever he was saying, because I surely didn't know. Like the girl prayed, Lord, you know I'm not praying for myself, but please give my mother a son-in-law. Now, you know that the Lord is not going to listen to that kind of prayer. So all of our motives God looks at and is interested in. And if we're praying for health, then we need to be ready to simply glorify God in our body in whatever we do. If we're praying for a job, then we should be able to witness and stand tall in that place that God has given to us. If we're praying for money, we need to be obedient to the Lord and His word concerning our money. May I say, you ask, but you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. The third thing I'd like you to notice, we pray with the wrong spirit in our hearts. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Go back to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua chapter 7. You recall God told the Israelites that they were not to take anything out of conquered Jericho. But Achan decided that he would go his own way. And he took a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold. And in Joshua 7:6-10, you see Joshua prostrate on his face in the ground before God. And God simply said to him, Joshua, get up. Now, a lot of people would say the way to humble yourself is to go down. But at this occasion, God tells him to get up. And then in the 11th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua, God turns to him and said, the problem with everything around here and the children of Israel is Israel hath sinned. One man's sin brought judgment upon the children of Israel. And may I say, a wrong spirit, a disobedience in our heart, a spirit of neglect and sin will bring about the judgment of God upon hearts and lives and even upon a church. You recall Jesus turned to the Pharisees and said to them, "You stand on the street corners and you pray to be seen of men. You need to go into your closet and into the private place to prayer. Pray." And he said, "Those of you that fast, you come out and show on your face that you fasted, so everyone will see that you have fasted." He said, "Wash your face. Get out there in the streets and let everybody see what has happened to you, but don't demonstrate that closeness that you have with me." And so Jesus was upset with those Pharisees because of this. Now, let me say the fourth thing is this. We are not abiding in Christ and keeping his commandments. Therefore, our prayers cannot be answered. If we abide, he said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, I don't know how many of you have ever received a scholarship. But if you've ever received a scholarship anywhere to a school, there's one thing you have to do in order for that scholarship to be valid, and that is to keep the rules of the scholarship. If you don't, then the scholarship is broken. So it is in our prayer life. If we break the commandments of God, if we break the rules of God, then that scholarship, so to speak, is broken, and we cannot get through to the Lord. Now, the Lord gives us a blank check. If we'll abide with him, he said, "It shall be done." And you may have needs in your lives and concerns in your life, and God will certainly meet those, providing you do two things, and that is to abide and to keep his commandments. I believe that if more people were to change their attitude and settle into this abiding and keeping, they'd get more answers to prayer. They see families saved. They see individual lives change. They see even our nation change because of abiding and keeping the word of the Lord. Number five, we don't get our prayers answered because we're not earnest enough. One of the greatest examples in the Bible is Moses in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. You recall the children of Israel had sinned against God. And this was the prayer of Moses: "If thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." In other words, Moses said, "If you're not going to forgive Israel of their sin, then rub my name out of the book. Blot it out." It was an earnest prayer before the Lord. And then I think of Jacob that was wrestling with the angel of God in Genesis 32 and 26. He said, "I will not let thee go until thou bless me." An earnest cry, an earnest intercession before Almighty God. I think of John Knox, that great reformer who cried, "Give me Scotland or I die." I think of Jonathan Edwards, that man for 3 days and three nights that would not eat any bread, would not eat any food, would not drink any water. He simply cried out to God over and over and over again. He said, "God, give me New England or I die." And because of the earnestness of Jonathan Edwards, the history books tells us that in Northampton, everybody from the age of 16 years of age on up were saved and born again through the cries and through the intercession, through the earnestness of this man, Jonathan Edwards. And many of you have heard the great sermon he preached, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." He had to write it out because his eyes were so dim. And he took the page of paper and almost put it over his mouth as he read that script that he had written. But it was so anointed by the Holy Spirit and so pungent and so powerful. The history books tell us that people literally held on to the pillars in that church because they felt like they were sinking into hell. That's the kind of earnestness that these men had in touching God. James 5 tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It simply means out of the depths of a man or a woman's being comes a prayer that is so desperate and so powerful and so full that it reaches the very throne of Almighty God. Now, let me just give you an illustration. I'll just take any church in town. I'll say, here's the fellow that goes to church tonight. Not in this church, but some other church. He goes to church and pastor gives the altar call and he comes down to the altar and takes a little time in prayer, and so he brushes his eyebrows a couple of times and gets up. He's not particularly moved at all. Goes out the door and goes home. And the minute that the door opens, his wife comes running at him and said, "Honey, come quickly. Johnny is very sick, got a fever of 104, burning up with fever. And perspiration is pouring from his body." He runs over to the bed, and there he sees Johnny, his eyes back in his head. Now, how does that man pray? Does he fold his hands and said, "Oh, God, you know, Johnny's very sick. It would be wonderful if you came down and touched him tonight." That isn't how that man prays. That man gets into gear. He begins to think of every promise in the book that he can remember. He begins to move in with earnestness, and he says to God, "I've got a boy that's sick tonight, God, and in my earnestness, I want you to come and heal him and touch him." Now, that's the kind of prayer, if we're going to get things from God, we have to come to God in that manner in order to see the Lord perform a miracle for us. Number six, our prayers are not answered because we do not believe our prayers will be answered. Matthew 21 and 22. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now it'd be wonderful if that verse of Scripture read like this: "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, ye shall receive." That is not how that verse of Scripture reads. You'll notice it says, "Ask in prayer, comma, believing, comma, ye shall receive." Now, disciples wanted to know about praying. And I think this is one of the ways that the Lord taught them to pray. "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Let me tell you a little story. Two missionaries were on a missionary compound many years ago in China before the communists came in. And a little Chinese woman who had been converted from paganism for about 6 months came running into the mission station, had a very urgency on her heart. She said to the missionaries, "The doctor has just left my home, and he's given my daughter 1 year, or one hour to live." And she said, "Now you have taught me that the Lord is able to answer prayer. And," she said, "I want you to pray and believe God with me for my daughter. Only 1 hour to live." And so the two missionaries turned to the little Chinese woman and said, "We'll pray. We'll kneel right here. But we want you to pray. We want you to talk to God about this need." And so she knelt, and this was her prayer. Listen to it. "Lord, the doctor just left my house and has given my daughter 1 hour to live. Now, Lord, these missionaries have told me of your power to hear and answer prayer. And Lord, I believe that now, Lord, whatever else you are planning to do, please put it off and take care of my request first." Then she went on and said, "Please take care of this request, for my daughter has only 1 hour to live. Lord, here is how you get to my home. I'm here at the mission station. You go down that road 2 blocks until you come to the end, then turn left along the lane until you come to the second house, go under the wire fence, and walk right up on the back porch. The door's closed, but don't bother to knock because my daughter's too sick to answer the door. Just go right on in, Jesus, and heal my daughter now. Amen." 6 months out of paganism, and this is how she prayed. The missionary said they'd been to all kinds of prayer conferences, read all kinds of books on prayer, but they said that woman's prayer was the best prayer they'd ever heard in all of their lives. And after they had prayed, they decided they'd walk along with a little Chinese woman to her house. So they went two blocks down the road, made a left on the lane, and they walked under the wire fence, got up on the porch, and the minute their feet hit the porch, the door swung open, the little Chinese woman's daughter came running out, embraced her mother, and said, "Mother, something happened. The Lord healed my body, and I'm every whit whole." Now that's the kind of praying I'm talking about. Believing what you pray. Believing that God is going to answer that prayer. So many times we come with mystic terms to God, high sounding symbols, "Oh, thou great Jehovah," and go through all of that. Listen, all God wants is simple prayer, coming to the point with faith, believing and moving in and claiming the word of the living God. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you." Again, he said, "Ask and ye shall receive. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them who ask him? All things whatsoever ye shall ask, believing, ye shall receive." I love the story about the woman in Kansas during the drought. It was so bad, the pastor of the church called all the people together for a prayer meeting. Church was packed to the doors with people to pray, but only one lady brought an umbrella. She believed. And that's the way it is with believing. We need to bring our umbrellas and expect the rain to come. All the rest were there for the prayer meeting, but only one had faith to believe that it was going to happen. The centurion said to the Lord, "You don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word. Lord, just say the word. That's all. I just believe if you say the word, my servant will be healed." How big's your God tonight? Got problems? Got requests? I want you to know faith moves the hand of God when we believe in his word. Last of all tonight, we do not have our prayers answered because we're not submissive to God's will. Luke 11:2, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Not like the little boy who went to Sunday school, who learned the Lord's Prayer, who said, "My will be done." Not that. It's not it. Like a young girl was going to an evangelistic meeting, wanted to see her father saved, and prayed every night for his salvation. And one night in that series of meetings, the evangelist came by, sensing the Spirit of God was upon her heart, and said to her, "Is God calling you someplace? Is God working in your life about something?" And a little girl looked up at him and said, "Yes, God is calling me to be a missionary, but I'm not going to leave my family or my home or my friends to go to a foreign field." And the missionary looked at her and said, "Then, I don't know whether or not God will hear your prayer for your father's salvation." Many people were saved in that revival meeting, but that father was unmoved during all that time. If we're not willing to let God rule our lives, then, my friend, there's not very much we can do when we begin to pray. You see, our prayers are hindered. If we become stubborn and we simply say, "Lord, I've got to have my will and my way. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I want certain things from you," they're not going to come. You may be praying for salvation for someone, or you may be praying for divine healing, or you may be praying for a myriad of things. There's a blockage there. It's your will against God's will. It's like unclogging a sink. You take some Drano and pour it down there, and all of a sudden, swish, and the water begins to flow. When we get our will out of the way of the will of God, then prayers begin to be answered. During the Civil War, an elderly couple had a son that was killed. It was their only son, and they were overwhelmed with grief because of him. fact, they shut themselves in and would hardly even answer the doorbell. But one day the doorbell did ring. And the father opened the door, and here was a young man who looked at him, asked if this was his name. He said, "Yes, yes, this is the place, yes." And he simply said to him, "I have a letter from your son." And the father took the letter out of the young man's hand. He noticed it was the handwriting of his son, and his lips began to quiver as he looked at that letter and opened it up. And the son wrote him this message: "Dear father and mother, the man who brings you this letter is my best friend in the army. He helped me on many occasions. Now, in what I believe is my last hour, he is with me. If he ever comes your way, give him the best you have for your son's sake." Did he? Yes. They gave that boy the best that they had. Let me tell you, my friends, this is the picture of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Picture of our Heavenly Father who's rich. Our Heavenly Father who wants to answer prayer. Our Heavenly Father that can supply our every need. He wants to do it for Jesus' sake in every heart and every life. But as long as there's sin in our life, and as long as we're praying without reasons and don't want to go God's way, and a wrong spirit and no believing, we'll never get anything from the Lord. But like that little Chinese lady simply said, "Now, Lord, I just believe you're going to do it." And when we in simple faith believe, God moves in and he answers prayer. What's your need tonight? God has said, if you follow these seven principles that I have given to you and you line yourself up to the Word of God, then he will answer and he will supply them in your heart and in your life. Are you ready to ask tonight? He's ready to answer, and it won't take him a month to do it, only a matter of a moment or two. Father, we come to you tonight. A lot of things that keep us from answered prayer, and I pray that our heart will be right and that we will not have any sin in our life this evening. Maybe there's some here, dear Lord, that you have called to the mission field, or maybe you've called them to a certain ministry, and they have rebelled against that, and they are trying to usurp their will against your will. Lord, it will never work. Oh, God, help us to realize that it's your will that's the most important thing. And I pray, Lord, that we will pray some prayers tonight. You have not because you ask not. And tonight we're going to ask and we're going to believe that you're going to answer prayer for us in this meeting. There are some children that are away from you, Lord. We're going to bring them to you this evening. Maybe a husband that's not saved, or a wife that's not saved, or an uncle or an aunt or somebody tonight, Lord. We're going to bring them to the throne of grace tonight. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will come and you will hear our prayer. But we've come this evening with faith, believing tonight that you are going to answer. Like the little Chinese woman, Lord, here we are right here at Westside Assembly, 75 North Crescent. Just come tonight and minister to our need. I wonder how many of you have needs in your life. You just lift it up. I'm not saying you're backslidden or anything like that. I'm just simply saying you have needs. You just lift them up tonight. Yes, hands going up all over the house tonight. You have needs that only God can meet. All right, just hold them there a moment. Father, look at all these needs. I don't even have to number them at all. But there are needs all over the building this evening. And I pray, Father, that we will come with faith believing. We will come with earnestness tonight, Lord. And we will see our prayers answered. In your name we ask it. Amen. Everybody standing. Let's sing it. Have faith in God tonight. That's what we need. Have a little faith in the Lord tonight. And he will answer. Have faith in God. Have where you're standing all over the auditorium tonight, would you just take somebody's hand tonight? We'll make this our prayer time. And we're just going to believe the Lord together for answers to prayer. As we sing it one more time, there may be somebody near you that needs a healing in their body, or they may need some other answer to prayer. Just join hands all over the building and let's sing it again. And you begin to pray for that one on your left and right hand side tonight. Whatever their need may be, they may be carrying a very heavy burden tonight. Nobody knows. They haven't said a word, but tonight they're carrying a heavy burden. And I want you to pray for them. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Faith in God. Now everybody pray together all over the building. Father, we just join our faith together. We're coming with faith, believing tonight. And I pray that there will be many answers to prayer. We're holding hands tonight as a human chain in this auditorium. And we're praying for financial needs. We're praying for salvation. We're praying for healing tonight. We're praying for a myriad of things. And I pray, Lord, that you will answer prayer as we join our faith together. Oh, Lord, may there be healings in the body tonight. May people begin to feel and sense a touch of your presence even now. Oh, Jesus, do the work that needs to be done. Encourage hearts. Encourage lives tonight, Lord. We come with faith, believing that it is going to be done. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah to his name. Now, can you just lift your hands and thank the Lord right now? Just give him praise tonight and say, thank you, Jesus. We have prayed. Now we believe that the answer is on its way. Oh, hallelujah to God. We just thank you tonight. We just praise you tonight, Lord. That answer is on its way this evening. And we give you praise for it in your name. One more time, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Faith in God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, do you believe his word tonight? Amen. Praise God. All right. We're gonna dismiss you. This is the way we're going to dismiss you tonight in prayer. Some of you are weary. You're bone weary. You're tired. It's been a full day for you. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank the Lord for his presence and him being with us tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.